I'm with Tony Watts and Brian Manning at the end of an excellent day at the Southwest Seniors Assembly. Tony, we talked earlier in the day. You were saying just now that you've learnt lots and little bits of mind shift and so forth. So what have you taken at the end of the day?
I was surprised, actually, how much I did learn today, because I've been in this field for a long time now, and you think all the arguments have been rehearsed and the statements and the positions were understood. And it's a constantly moving agenda here. I think a lot of older people themselves are starting to get more confident about the change that they can actually make themselves. Mm. I think they need to be encouraged and enabled and endowed with the feeling that if they actually push hard enough and they listen to, they can actually make a difference. Mm. And at organisations, we had some excellent professional people here today who were genuinely listening to what they had to say. And I think if that process continues, if we can get older people together with representatives, what we call the suits, in the same room, listening to each other's perspective, things will change, things will shift, because you only know what it's like to be old when you're old yourself. And prescribing what you should be, you know, and what you should do and how you should live, that can only come from older people themselves. They have to be part of the solution and not the problem.
Yeah, I entirely agree with you.
I think I heard you saying in the panel on the end, Brian, something about the need for older people to organise as a community and the collective wisdom and capability that we indeed have.
Yeah, as I said at the time, it's about not for, it's not the providers separated and therefore delivering services for people. It should be with the people, with an understanding of them and then a proper interaction, not sticking the poor, benighted, ancient person as sort of some subhuman stuff body who's sort of trundling on to the end of life. These are people who are matured adults, in fact, more matured and mature, maybe, than ordinary adults. And I think people need to realise that and realise the worst that is tied in the skulls of all these people.
I was talking earlier to Jackie Allen about the strategy in Dorset that they developed, and she said that they started with four questions, the first of which was, well, what do you think the problem is? And the second one of which is, well, what do you think you can do about it, before getting on to what do you think your neighbours can do about it? And then perhaps, what can government do about it? And it seemed to me that kind of three-way split between what should we expect to be able to do ourselves, depending our capabilities, time of life, what can we do together, and then what do we have to look to government to do? And maybe we're talking about a shift on that spectrum.
I think that's definitely a shift over the last 10, 20 years I've been in this field, is that people felt powerless, that the government didn't listen, the local council didn't listen, the health trust didn't listen, the doctor didn't listen, people didn't hear what they had to say. And I think there is a genuine mood in the camp now that, people have to listen. If you listen to professionals today talking about how they shape their services, they are definitely having to take on board what older people think and feel and know. So we have to move more in that direction. And the fact that one of the representatives today from Devon, their senior voice in Devon, older people's organisation, they've actually taken over Health Watch down there. They're running it themselves. And this is like revolutionary. And as he said himself, you could have done this if you'd actually got off your backside and organised yourselves a bit earlier. So there's no good moaning about things. People have got the power to change if they have the confidence and they're given the tools to do the job, I think.
Yeah, I think there's another contributory factor to that, that the professions are listening because, and I think the because is, they've suddenly realised that with the burgeoning number of the elderly and the circumstances that would follow from that large number is a tsunami that would overwhelm the health and social services. And the only way that they can do is to change their attitude and work with.
And we had some discussion there, in fact, a strong theme, and one of the workshops was around digital inclusion, digital exclusion as part of social inclusion. And that has tended to be, well, how do we get older people using technology? It's good for them, brackets, it's the way that government will save money. But can we flip it around more and say, how can technology enable older people to make the sort of changes for themselves that we're talking about?
Well, I think the interesting thing was the film, which demonstrated that things like Skype and interaction is an attractive element. It is not about learning how to use Microsoft Office or other things like that. They are basically simple things, and as you and I have discussed before, it's a question of the era of the coming apps, where the apps are simple. You just tap on it on a tablet and it opens up, and you have got something that is useful to you immediately. You do not have to learn anything else.
The point is, if you create a computer that would be whatever this thing is, but perhaps computer's the wrong word now, if you create this device that an older person who's got no idea how this thing operates, if you can create this intuitive piece of kit that they can use, everyone can use it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about providing kit especially for older people, it's providing kit that actually works for everybody.
Yeah. Intuitively.
Intuitively.
And
the design is designed for everybody.
It struck me that there's a lot of networks here. There's a lot of strength clearly in the Southwest. There's a lot of goodwill, it seems, between the professional bodies, the voluntary bodies, and so forth. So are there some good routes forward here, Tony?
What we have got here is access to a very large sample, if you will. There's 50,000 members of the Southwest Seniors Network. We can tap into that knowledge and that experience, and we can do all sorts of work with these people. They're really keen to be part of this process. You know, I've been working with them for a few years now, and there's a real appetite to get stuck in, you know, and actually try and make things better.
I think this is a fascinating thing, because to my mind, where I live nowadays, which is on the south coast, which is West Sussex, Hampshire, and those through to Kent and Surrey, we need to be able to translate that across there, because they're the similar sort of folks. If necessary, we move across the Thames up to Oxfordshire, Berkshire, Hertfordshire and Essex, and why not? The real question is, how do we learn from what you managed to achieve down here?
It's relatively straightforward. There's a national network of organisations like mine, and I can work in with those my counterparts in the South East and in the Midlands and North Yorkshire and this sort of thing. So there is that ability to actually transfer. We can replicate what we did here elsewhere. It shouldn't be a problem.
So it sounds like some innovative developments here around the ways that we've been talking about, and then some ways of sharing that with other regions.
Absolutely, it's pointless learning something and keeping it to yourself. What we have to do is actually transfer what we have elsewhere in the UK.